Sometimes we need to be encouraged with all that we face in this life. I think of what Jack Hyle said one time. He said, be kind to everybody because everybody's having a hard day. And this life has a lot of trials and a lot of troubles in it. I was telling somebody the other day, it was Judy Huss, in fact. By the way, Judy's almost back. She's just text me and said she needed one more Sunday. She was planning to come back today, but she's gone through a lot. I told her, I said, sometimes I think I go through things because people are going through things, and God doesn't want the man of God to be unscathed. And I thank God for my health. I have wonderful health, but sometimes you need to go through some things and some pain and some difficulties so you can relate to people. And so tonight I feel led to go to Psalm 124 because it talks about that, Psalm 124. And let me just say that I have seen the devil knock people down, and I've seen the world knock God's people down. But I am so thankful that though I've been knocked down, Satan can't knock us out, and we can get back up on our feet. And my wife has a little phrase, I was sharing that with her again this morning with what I'm going through. And it is, she always says to me, somebody's always helping that boy. Somebody's always helping that boy, because she knows I need the help. And she sees it in my life. And I believe that's true of me, and it's true of you, and certainly it was true of David, who wrote this psalm, Psalm 124, so we're going to look at this psalm tonight. And the name of the message is based on a phrase in the psalm that is repeated three times in the first three verses, and it is the phrase, if the Lord had not been on our side. If the Lord had not been on our side. And then it tells where we would be if the Lord had not been on our side. So I'd like you to think about that tonight. Where would you be if you were not saved? Where would you be if the Lord had not intervened in your life? Where would I be, you know? And that's really what this psalm is all about. And I want to say three things from this psalm where we would be if the Lord had not been on our side. And the first one is in the first three verses. If the Lord had not been on our side, it says, then men would have swallowed us up quickly. Then men would have swallowed us up quickly. You know, the Bible speaks of people eating up my people as they eat bread. Do you know that people in this world want to kill us? You know that, right? And it's Satan who wants to kill you. You're alive only because of God. And if it were not for the Lord, and you are a child of God, let me tell you, Satan is a murderer. He wants you dead. He hates you. He does not love you. He's not a friend. Sometimes Hollywood movies, there was a movie, I didn't watch it, but it was with Al Pacino, and I heard about it, that Satan presented himself like he's a friend, you know, to mankind. No, he's not a friend. He hates human race, and he hates Christians especially. And he hates Jews because they're God's chosen people. And so if the Lord had not been on our side, then men would have swallowed us up. How? Quickly. Don't forget that adverb. Quickly. Because it would be over in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, if the Lord had not been on our side. And the Bible says this in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And look what the psalmist says here in Psalm 124. I'll read the first three verses. It said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. Verse 3, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. So if it had not been the Lord that was on our side, we would have been swallowed up very, very quickly. You know, I think of Brother Jose Gonzalez. He's here tonight, and I've talked to him about his being raised in New York City. And that was a tough place to be raised. Plus, he has a tough background. He went through some tough things as a kid with his family and with the people in New York City. And many times, Brother Jose Gonzalez would have been dead, I'm convinced. We're not the Lord on our side, you see. And we need to recognize that. You know, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And what that means is that we have the eternal triune God on our side. Because our former pastor used to say, we've got the world against us. We've got the devil against us. We've got our own sinful nature against us that would kill us. I mean, I'm sure Brother Jose would have got himself killed, left to himself. Amen. I'm saying those things are against us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But God is for us. And who's that? The Father's for us. God the Father, there's nobody more powerful. And God the Father controls everything. And God the Father, I believe, chose us in Jesus Christ to save us. And if God chooses to save us, we're going to get there. We're going to get to salvation. And God the Son, He did what the Father said, and He purchased our redemption from Satan and paid for our redemption. And Satan thought he had the victory, but he didn't, because he rose from the dead. And he's watching over you and praying for you. And if God the Son were not on our side, where would we be? And then we've got God the Holy Ghost. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that God imparts an irresistible quickening ray into the hearts of those that the Father chose and the Son purchased. And if the Holy Spirit had not been on our side, where would we be? Where would a guy like Jose Gonzalez be? Where would any of us be? And I tell people, you know, if you're out there working for the Lord, if you're out there trying to bring in people to Christ, and that's what God says we're to be doing, the Son gave His all to do it, the Spirit of God is wooing people, we're supposed to be out there. And I was telling Brother Matthew, you know, we were out on the bus route, and I said, I went to a particular house, and I knocked on the door, and it seemed like the minds of the people were evil affected. You know what I mean by evil affected? That means the devil got in their ear. Yep. Here was a family that you've been helping, that family. The kids have been blessed. They're excited to see the bus captain. They're excited to get on the bus. And they're hearing the word of God, and they're getting the good things the Lord has for them. And the devil doesn't like it. And I went to the home, and one of the little girl was there, and she was saying to me, you know, real polite, sweet little girl. And I said, where's your mom? And she said, oh, she's doing this or doing that. And then I realized she's avoiding me. And then I talked to the boy, and I could see there was something going on there. And then I noticed there's a neighbor sitting right there. I said, oh, I know that neighbor. That person is like Alexander the coppersmith. Right. And whoever they talk to, they evilly affect the minds of people. And that's the devil's work. We're spreading the good news. You know what the devil's spreading? Manure. He's always spreading manure and lies and slander, in other words. And I called Brother Matt, and I said, Brother Matt, you need to work on that. Get with that. See if you can help there. Because I tell you, that's what's going on. Brother Matt said, I know. And then he gave me some things about that. But I'm just saying, if God be for us, who can be against us? Right. And if it's not for God, everything we do would be swallowed up. Right. But it is the Lord who is on our side. And the devil's no match for God. Amen. Greater is He that's in us, beloved, than he that's in the world. I'm not afraid to take on this work. I'm not afraid that Satan comes against us, because we've got a God that's for us. And if you are saved through faith in Jesus tonight, then the God that was for Israel and chose Israel is for you. And by the way, you're married to Israel's Messiah. So you're in-lawed by marriage to Israel. Thank God for that. And you are the bride of Christ. And by the way, if you're the bride of Christ, Christ is going to take care of you. He takes care of his bride. Amen. I think of Saul of Tarsus. He was trying to kill Christians, arrest Christians. And Jesus just confronted him right on the road to Damascus. Knocked him off his horse, you know. Blinded him. And he was blind for 3 days. And he said, "Why persecutest thou me?" In other words, your wife is part of you. Amen. My wife always liked it when decades ago, we were at Nayak Park and some young guy bumped her and I was ready to knock his head off. and then I realized it was accidental, you know, but you know, you take care of your wife. And Jesus said, we are the bride of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how can I be safe in this world, you know? Though this world with devils filled should threaten. I'll tell you, the best way to be safe is be in the middle of the will of God for your life. Amen. I don't care if he leads you on a mission field. You're safe in the will of God. You know where you're the most in danger? When you're doing your own thing. Right. You're staying home from church and skipping. And you're doing your own thing. You're endangering yourself. You're endangering your mortal life, and you're endangering your loved ones around you. And so the safest place, I remember Charles Ware, our first pastor, when he was in the dorm at BBC, he had a dream, and he said, I was sleeping in my dream. I didn't even realize it was a dream. I thought it was real. And it was like God said, okay, now move your bed. And he moved his bed to the other side of the room as soon as the Lord said that. And boom, he said, hot acid dropped out of the ceiling and burned a hole right in the floor where my bed had been. And he said, I got the message. Stay with God. Stay right in the place where God wants you to be. I remember one time I was preaching the gospel in New York City, right down in the roughest area of New York City, where I'd gone to preach there in a place that David Wilkerson had. And I was preaching there. And I remember a guy told me after I gave him the gospel that a guy behind me had a switchblade 5 inches long. And he said, I want to jam it in this guy's back. He wanted to jam it right in my kidney and slice me open and kill me right there. I was 19 years old. Robert, I was your age, Robert. And he wanted to do that. And the guy told me afterward, he said, I gave him the word without even saying a word. I said, nope. He was like the gang leader. He said, nope, do not do it. And you know what? If it wasn't for the Lord, how many times would we be swallowed up quickly? And we should not take it for granted. We should appreciate it tonight, that if it were not for the Lord, then men would have swallowed up quickly. Who's writing this psalm? King David. King David. And you know, King David was anointed to be a king. God's anointing was on him to be the king. And you say, wow, God's anointing was upon him. Man, he must have got the royal treatment. Yeah, he got the royal treatment all right. He said, there is only one step between me and death. One time, his wife and him, they put a fake David in the bed because they came to kill him around his house, and he had to put a fake statue of himself in the bed, and David had to run away. And he was on the run for years and years while Saul's army chased him, and he was anointed by God. Let me say something. Do you know if you're a born-again Christian tonight, you're anointed by God? Do you know you're an anointed king? Do you know the Bible says that in Revelation 1, you're a king? He's called the what? King of kings. That means that we're going to reign with Christ. And you're a king, and you're anointed. You say, well, wow, I don't feel like Prince Charles, I don't get that kind of royal treatment. No, because you're not reigning yet. You're suffering now. David was not reigning yet, though he was anointed and he was on the run. Why? Because he was in training, and God wants us to know that we're anointed and we're indestructible. And you say, well, where does it say I'm anointed? 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, now he which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed us. And that is God. He which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. You're anointed. You say, what am I anointed with? The Holy Spirit of God. And you're anointed, and therefore the devil will fight you, and God's got armor for you, and he protects you. And you're indestructible until God plans to graduate you to heaven. I think of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. And where are they? They are in the most dangerous place. They're in the hottest place during the Great Tribulation. And where were they? They were in the city of Jerusalem for 3.5 years during the Great Tribulation and on into the day of the Lord. And they're preaching right there. Do you think the devil wants to kill those guys? Do you think the world wants to kill those guys? Oh, absolutely. The beast, you think he's sending out troops to kill them. But guess what? They're indestructible until their ministry is done. And you're indestructible till your ministry's done. So what should you do? Serve the Lord with your life. Do his will. And he will be with you and he will bless you. And it reminds me of the three Hebrew children. They were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down. They would not give in to the pressure of the world to worship a false god. They wouldn't do it, you see. And they were thrown in that furnace. But guess what? God delivered them. The Lord was with them in the midst of that fiery furnace, and he'll be with you. So don't give in to the world. Trust God and walk with him. And if you're serving the Lord, Satan will try to come against you. And I told my Sunday school class this morning, I said that you have at least two angels that are with you all the time if you're saved. Two angels that are with you, at least. And Brother Andy said, well, where's that in the Bible? I said, Luke 16:22. But it doesn't say there are two angels, but it says angels, plural, came to meet the beggar and take him to heaven. So maybe some people you have more than two. Maybe you need more than two, right? Depending on where you are and what you're going through. But I'm saying no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, in I'll read it, chapter 1:14, it says, are they, speaking of angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You say, I can't see angels. Well, can you see a spirit? Can you see the wind? No, you can't. The same word for wind is the word for spirit. You can't see angels with human physical eyes unless God should change your vision. Amen. But they're around us. You have, I'm saying, guardian angels that are watching over you. In a church service like this, with the saints of God here, there are angels that are watching over and guarding our service. And so even though the devil has his devils and they would want men to swallow you up quickly, we have to remember that the righteous can be bold as lions because God is looking over us. I think the true president's anointed of God to be the president. Oh, they stole the election. Absolutely. It's coming out more and more. Right. They stole the election. Satan's not only a murderer, he's a thief. But you know what? They stole the election, but they have not yet been able to stop him. And that's why now they're indicting him for the third time for crimes he didn't do while they're protecting Biden or trying to. But you know what? You can't protect anybody from God. And that's why our trust is in the Lord. That's where your trust should be. I like what Andrew Jackson said, the great Confederate general. He said, Stonewall Jackson, Thomas Jackson. I'm sorry, I said Andrew. Stonewall, who's Thomas Jackson, he said, I'm as safe on the battlefield as I am home in my bedroom, lying in my bed. Because he knew he was indestructible as long as he was with God and God was with him. And the last I checked, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know what you're going through. Could be physical trials, could be a lot of things, but I'm saying that God is for you, and those people that would go against you, they're not going to overthrow you. And I like what one man said about Donald Trump. He said he's like Donald the Duck. He said all that they put against him goes off him like water off a duck's back. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? It's amazing that somebody is still standing like that. But it's not amazing when you think of it. The Lord keeps you standing. The Lord keeps me standing, Sarge. Amen and amen. And Sarge has said many times when I'm down, oh, pastor's down, but he's not out. I've seen him knocked down before, but God just keeps picking him up. And you know what? That's our key. God, you're indestructible until your ministry is finished. And then you'll be graduated, amen, to be with the Lord. And, of course, who was the most anointed, wonderfully blessed person on earth? Well, it was the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Did Satan come after him? Oh, yeah. When he was born, remember, Herod tried to kill all the kids 2 years old and younger just to make sure he wiped them out. But in a dream, Joseph was warned, get down to Egypt, and he got out of there just in time. You see, it was just constantly they were trying to kill the Lord. The devil was trying to kill the Lord. The Lord went through the crowd. He escaped it. God's watching out for you. You can have that peace. You can have that joy. Thou wilt keep him in what? Perfect peace. Amen. Whose mind is what? Stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Listen to me, beloved. You have a great, big, wonderful God. You don't live in a great, big, wonderful world. But you have a great, big, wonderful God. And he will watch out for you. And you are indestructible. Until your ministry's done. So serve the Lord. Stay in the middle of his will. Amen. That's the blessed. And the Lord, finally, Satan was allowed to kill him. Just like the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses. Finally, the beast is gone. I got him. But what happened to the two witnesses 3.5 days later? Whoop, the Lord raised him from the dead. What happened to the Lord after 3 days? After 3 days. Early on the morning, on the fourth day, or early in the dark period of the fourth, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Do you realize that tonight? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice and cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Have you experienced that? I have. I've been a pastor here into my 45th year. I've experienced it. I've been here as a believer for over 52 years. I've experienced it, beloved. And I'm just saying to you, you can trust him. Amen. And you can have that assurance. And if you're in Christ, Satan, your enemies, and the grave itself would swallow you up if it could. But God says this, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, the grave cannot keep you in its belly no more than the whale could keep Jonah in its belly. That grave is going to have to vomit you out. Why? Because the Lord kept the law for us. The Lord took the curse of the law for us. You're not saved by keeping the law. If you think you can get saved by keeping the law, you got another thing coming. You're saved by the grace of Christ through faith. That not of yourself. It's the gift of God. And so I'm just saying, if the Lord had not been on our side, then men would have swallowed us up quickly. But there's a second thing in this psalm. If the Lord had not been on our side, not only men, but it says the proud waters would have drowned us. Let's look at verse 4 and 5 that David penned under inspiration. He said, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Boy, have you ever experienced that? I remember as a kid being in Lake Michigan, my friend Gary Sawyer, I used to call him Sissis Swami. I don't know why I gave him that name. His name was Sawyer. And he was my friend, and they had a big cabin cruiser, and one day, I guess his mother, Gary's mother, knew my dad when they were single, and they had the same group. And anyway, we got together with Gary's dad, Buzz Sawyer, and Lois was the mom, and we went in this cabin cruiser, and I remember we were in Lake Michigan, and I jumped out of that cabin cruiser, and the water of Lake Michigan went over my head, and I thought, Harper's going out to Michigan. Watch out. That's a big lake there, man. It's like an ocean. And I thought I was drowned. I thought I was dead and gone. I wouldn't get up. But thank God. Maybe it was that angel that brought me up, you know, that guardian angel. Because I believe angels are watching over us if we're the heirs of salvation, if we're the chosen of God. From the time you're a little kid, they're watching over you even when you're not saved. And you know, the proud waters would have drowned us. I think of the Red Sea. Amen. They came to the Red Sea, and what happened? What did Moses say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hey, you're going through some proud waters that want to overthrow you in this world. Proud waters that, you know, Satan threw a flood against the Jews, or he's going to throw a flood against the Jews when they try to run from Jerusalem and try to escape the devil. And you know what happens? It's kind of like a cartoon. They're running, you know, and the water is like a flood that comes out of Satan's mouth, the dragon's mouth, and tries to get those Jews on the run. And what does God do? He sends an earthquake, splits the earth, and the waters are sucked up and the flood is stopped. What did God do with the Red Sea? Had Moses split the Red Sea, the Israelites went through the Red Sea on dry ground, the Egyptians chased them, and those waters went down over the Egyptians. I'm just saying to you, Satan thinks he has great power and he can overwhelm us. But remember, he's God's devil, and he has to get permission. And those proud waters, notice what it says in verse 4 and 5 again. I'll read it again. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. See, not only would men have swallowed you up, but circumstances in this world, the proud waters would go over you. In fact, I want to give you a promise tonight from Isaiah 43. You say, well, do I need that promise? Well, either you've gone through deep waters, you're now going through deep waters, or I guarantee you sooner or later you will go through deep waters. So if you think right now you've got the world by the tail and everything's going good, let me tell you, it's not going to stay that way forever. All sunshine makes desert, amen? And all sunshine makes desert. We need some rainy days. We need some cloudy days. We need some floods in our life, amen? And thank God for the Bajeskis help deal my floods and get them out of the house there. But you're going to go... Brother Bob told me they could do it, and they did it. But you know what? My secretary used to say, my first secretary, Rolaine, she said, you know, Pastor, that song says, some through the water, some through the fire, some through the water. How does it go? Some through the water, some through the fire, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. I got it. All right. And she said, Pastor, you're the one through the flood or through the water, because it's always been water in my life. I remember one time in our old home in Providence, we sat down to a Thanksgiving dinner and the turkey was out and everything, the big beautiful turkey on the table, and everything was there, and it was so great. And somebody was upstairs using the bathroom, and the bathroom happened to be located over the Thanksgiving table, and they flushed it and it all came down. Just a flood right smack dab on the turkey. And it's always been that way with me, always the water. And I'm saying to you that you're going to need this, because you're going to have the floods go over your head. And you say, where's that in the Bible? Well, Isaiah 43:3, here's what it says. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You may be going through deep waters now. You may have just gone through deep waters. You will go through deep waters. But I can guarantee you this on the authority of Jesus Christ. God says, I will be with thee. He will never leave you. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Boy, I feel sorry for people in the world. I feel sorry for the Hollywood crowd. I feel sorry for the rich crowd when they just think they can. I feel sorry for Hunter Biden paying for prostitutes. And they're not going to be with him, friend. They're not going to be with him when he goes through the deep waters. The prostitutes of the world, strange women, the Bible says their way leads to hell. You think you're going to find comfort in that? You think you're going to find blessing in that? I thank God. He takes care of us. Thank God for a godly wife and for the blessings of the Lord. And I thank God for his presence. That when my father and mother forsake me, the Bible says, then the what? Lord will take me up. Oh, beloved, that's what God wants. You to have peace. You to have joy in the midst of the storms of life. That's why I believe God lets me go through things. So 2 Corinthians 1, I can help you. And that's why God lets you go through things, so that you can help me, because that's really what it's all about. And so tonight, if the Lord had not been on our side, we know men would have swallowed us up quickly. We know then that the proud waters would have indeed drowned us. And one more thing I want to say from Psalm 124, then the hunters would have kept us trapped. Look at Psalm 124, verse 7 and 8. I'll read it. It says, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. Amen. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now, you know, there are two kind of hunters, amen. The one kind of hunter is a hunter like me. I did some hunting in my day. I've done some hunting. And my dad did a lot of hunting. He had a lot of guns and did a lot of hunting. And they hunt various kind of animals. Then there's another kind of hunter, and that hunter is like a predatory animal, like a coyote or a wolf or a fox or something like that. And what it's saying is that notice it says there in verse 6, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. You know what? My youngest son, they bought 4 chickens and their hens. And they bought the chickens, the nicest hen house. And they say those hens will lay about 6 eggs a day for them. And they're excited about that. And so they got this nice hen house, Mrs. B. Nice hen house, beautiful hen house. And Kristen keeps it clean. She's so pregnant, but every day she cleans the chicken poop out of it. And it's a lot of work, but she does it twice. But the other day, while they were sleeping, they heard noises. And guess what? A fox was trying to get in the hen house, trying to open that door. And guess what? That fox, Luke, could not get those hens. If he would have got those hens, you know what would have happened, Luke? It would have been chicken dinner. And it would have been fun. And they would have eaten them up. But he couldn't get in there. And you know what? Satan is a wolf, amen? Satan has a wolf called the beast that's coming. And we know the word Adolf means wolf. And we need to know, beloved, there's no safer place for you than in the will of God. I remember Jacob when he was going back with all of his big family from being there in Mesopotamia, and he was coming back to the promised land, and Esau, his brother, hated him, and he was coming after him with 400 men, and Jacob was so afraid, and the Bible said he named the place Mahanaim, where he rested that night and prayed. And Mahanaim means two hosts. One was Jacob's big family with all of his animals, the entourage. The other was the angelic host that was protecting Jacob. You see, the hunters of our souls would trap us and keep us trapped if it wasn't that the Lord had been our help. If you go down to my office, you'll see a big buck down there, Buckhead. And if you go downstairs in my dad's basement, you'll see all kind of horns and animals that he's killed. And you know what? I remember when we got that buck, the hunter said, "Hey, Rev," they called me Rev. They said, "Hey, Rev, you sit here with your rifle, and we'll go through the Christmas tree farm, because you can't bring a rifle on the Christmas tree farm. And we'll go at a big line, and if there's any bucks hiding in there, smart bucks, we'll push them out to you. And you just sit there and wait for them." And sure enough, a gray-bearded buck came out, big buck, big rack, and phew, I shot him. And I ate him. And my wife even ate him. And the kids ate him. And you know what? That's what the devil would do to you. He would just have fun with you if he was allowed. But we have to remember that it's the Lord on our side, and that no predatory beast of Satan can destroy us until or unless God allows it and our ministry is ready for it, and it would glorify God. And so Satan is trying to hunt you. He's got a lot of helpers. The best place for you to be is right where God wants you to be. And by the way, the Bible says, Jesus said, that we are to be fishers of men. We're to be going out there and hunting ourselves, right? And we're to be fishing ourselves. And we're to fish for boys and fish for girls and fish for ladies and men. We're to do that. Why? Because the devil is hunting them and is trapping them. And what does the devil use to trap the world? He uses drugs. He uses sexual sin. He uses alcohol. He uses the love of money. He uses the lies of evolution. He uses the globalist public school system. He uses false religions. There are only two real religions. One is God saving you through the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And the other is you trying to make yourself right with God through your own good works. And hey, I thank God that the devil had me trapped. I was unsaved. I was headed to hell. I was trapped by Satan. I was trapped in my sin. Look up here. I was trapped in my sin, Rob. But who freed me up? Jesus freed me up. Amen. He saved me. He caught me in his net when I was 17 years of age. He caught me in his net, and I'm saved. He got me out of that world. By the way, when he saves you, he doesn't save you in your drunkenness. He doesn't save you in your drug abuse. He doesn't save you in your fornication. He saves you and takes you out of it. Such were some of you, but you're justified, you're sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so I'm just saying, thank God that though Satan is a hunter and he had us trapped when he trapped our father Adam and he trapped our human race, he had us trapped, and we were born in trespasses and sins. We were born without hope. We were born without God in this world. But if the Lord had not been on our side, we would have stayed there and lived there and died there and gone to hell with Satan, because hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. But thank God our Savior took our hell. Thank God our Savior. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners," he's talking about God's elect, "while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you." And he brought you out, beloved. Listen, I'm just saying tonight, you should have peace in the midst of the floods. You should have peace with the predatory beasts of the devil. You should have peace, though men would swallow you up if they could and take you out. And the Bible says you shall be hated of all nations. It doesn't matter, beloved, because if God loves us and God's for us, who in tarnation can ever be against us? If the Lord had not been on our side, what a blessing that is. We can say, and I say to you tonight, no matter what it is, we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. So do you have peace in your heart? Do you have joy in the midst of this world? If you don't, why are you out there hanging with the world? Come to Christ and trust him as your peace. And if you've trusted him, keep your mind stayed upon him. And be in a place where you're constantly reminded of who he is and what he's done. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed tonight. We're talking about knowing that